live in God's purposes. So that's the prophetic. Evangelistic. We'll start here this time in a minute. So you've got your 3 minutes. What does it mean for a church to be evangelistic? Okay. Good answers. To evangelize is literally to gospelize. People are not only led to make an initial response to the gospel, but the Great Commission is obeyed to make disciples on the pattern laid out by Jesus in the Gospels. So God's people will be a people of both Word and Spirit, the Word and the Spirit working together in their lives. Of course, such a congregation will not be made up by churchgoers or those who want a formal religious kind of life. They will want their lives to conform to God's Word, realizing this is only possible through dependence upon the Holy Spirit. So they will be a people who've been born again and who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They will be evangelical in its true meaning of that word, and also charismatic or Pentecostal. In other words, their lives will express faith in God's word. And they will demonstrate that they are gifted by the Holy Spirit. And evangelical people are passionate about living the gospel themselves, putting God's word into action. And they are passionate about fulfilling the Great Commission to go into all the world to make disciples of all nations. An apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic people are outward looking, not inward looking. They are not obsessed with church politics and church affairs, but with obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is head of the church, head of his church. They want to do what he commands his people to do at both the personal and the corporate levels. Amen. Pastoral. What does it mean that a church is pastoral? Okay. Most churches would consider themselves to be pastoral, but not necessarily in the biblical sense. The pastor is to be a shepherd who cares for the sheep. Biblically, this means that he does far more than look after them to see that their needs are met. He is to lead them to the rich pastures God intends for them and in the paths of righteousness. He is to see that they are trained and equipped for service. He has the responsibility to see that people are envisioned and have a clear sense of God's purpose for their lives and for his church. And the people are to be devoted to the Lord by being devoted to his will for them, both individually and corporately. In Ezekiel 34, the Lord also makes it clear that the pastor is to search for the lost and bring back the strays, the prodigals. He is to attend to the injured, strengthen the weak, and heal the sick. In Scripture, pastors and elders are to have healing ministries. The apostle can bring spiritual breakthrough to a church. The prophet can speak into the church. The pastor can then lead the people to live in the good of the breakthrough and fulfill the prophetic words from the Lord. Pastoral care is not to be confined to those with full-time ministries in the congregation. A good pastor will develop members of his church, or her church, to share in the pastoral care of others. In fulfilling Jesus' command to love one another, they will learn to care for one another and to reach out into the world around with the love and compassion of Christ. Okay, how are you doing? Doing all right? Getting, ticking most of the boxes? I think we've come a long way over the years, haven't we, to get an understanding of these things. So finally, the teacher. What does it mean for a church to be a teaching church, or have the office of teacher in it? What does it mean to be a teaching church? What we're thinking about tonight is the difference between the old style of church, traditional way of thinking about church, the pastoral traditional model, and what God is doing today, which is the apostolic prophetic model. And so we've got to get out of the mindset which we used to have about what these things mean and understand what God says about them from his word. And we're going to come to a list in a minute, and we're going to see all sorts of things that have changed, to be able to identify them in ourselves and get clear thinking on them. But what's the clear thinking what a teacher is for from the word? Okay. So The business of the church is not to preach the latest philosophy or spiritual fashion, but to proclaim the truth of God's word that has the power to set people free and then enable them to live in freedom. See, that's a very different thing from just teaching the Bible to teach someone who then goes on and teaches someone else. It's about seeing the reality of the word and seeing people set free, seeing the power of the word, enabling them to live in freedom. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will guide people into the words of truth. He will take the things of Jesus and declare them to God's people. This is God's appointed way of setting people free. A very different concept than perhaps one that you were coming from, Tim. I think you probably mentioned a few of these things, but it's not just teaching the Bible. Not in the apostolic age in which we live. It used to be that. These days it's not. It's to train. It's the word of God, and it's to train to see people set free. Okay? Very important. Those with responsibility to teach in the church need to be people who put their trust personally in the word of God and to live by that word themselves. So, of course, we have to live what we teach before we teach it. The nearest definition of leadership in the New Testament is found in Hebrews 13, 7-8. Remember to honour your leaders and pray for them. They've spoken God's word to you. So that's what leaders do. They speak God's word to you. You can see from their example that they live their message and that they demonstrate how to live by faith. Jesus Christ is the same today as he's been in the past, and he will always remain the same for all eternity. Hebrews 13, 7-8. The church needs to be saved from those who preach or teach theoretically. For God's people need to be shown how to live by God's word. He is always willing to confirm his word with signs following, showing that Jesus Christ is indeed the same today as he has always been in the past. There are always those borderline times after, especially in conferences, after teaching where, you know, by faith you believe God is ministering to the people who have come up, I believe he does. But there are those times also when you're at the front and you're ministering after bringing the word of God and you see the power of God. Actually, Wednesday and Thursday nights, people going down as they did at the Altar Bible Conference, it was the power of God, it was the anointing of God. There's nothing else going on except the response after the words. And you were there seeing them go down. And they weren't being pushed. You know, some were good, firm, what's it? But they were, because there are so many times when they don't, you see. And you learn that sometimes God is at work. My point is that without the power, the teaching ministry isn't what God wants it to be. The signs and wonders follow the teaching of the word. The Bible says that. Signs and wonders will follow. You see, now we should all be looking for that and ready for that. When we preach the word, right, what are the signs? Where are the signs? Where's the power, Lord? Where are the signs that follow? And that's the complete opposite to teaching theoretically. And it's the power that is the indicator of the truth going forth to train, as opposed to theoretically, to inform. Teaching ministry today in an apostolic church, which is at the forefront of everything that God's doing, it wasn't like this a generation ago, but today, the teaching ministry is to see the power of God impacting people's lives, through the word, but also signs and wonders that follow. So there we are. There's the five ministries within an apostolic church. Just in your groups, to what degree, I mean, no church is going to live them up perfectly, of course, but to what degree are we in Cornerstone seeking to and getting hold of this stuff and living in it? To what extent is Cornerstone Church an apostolic church? Let's put it that way. Leave it to you. Answer how you like. 3 minutes. I'm going to give you the old, just the last 10 minutes, I'm going to give you the old mindset, or the old act or attitude, and you give me the apostolic up-to-date version, okay? Now, you may not be able to guess it directly, so much because I hope you, because some of you will be guessing all night and you'll get it wrong, but that's true. The old traditional pastoral, church exists to meet my needs. That's how it used to be. People go to church to get their needs met. That's it. If that's the old pastoral traditional model, what's today's model? Yes, train me for God's purposes. Yeah, so it used to be come and get my needs met. Now it's come and get trained for God's purposes. So it used to be care for me. And today?
Care for the world.
Care for others. Yeah, well done. In the old model, focus on the church. New model, read it out earlier. Focus on the, if Jesus says, I'll build my church, we focus on the kingdom. So the focus of an apostolic church, what God is doing today, the focus is on the kingdom, and Christ will build the church. Old-fashioned way, old traditional pastoral way, the church is a democracy. And the apostolic way, governed by scripture. Okay, and then outworked, obviously, in human, blah, 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 but governed by scripture. The word of God is the thing that does it, not the democracy. The old one gathers around tradition. The old model gather around tradition. The new model, what do we gather around? No? The other one. The anointing. The anointing. Okay? Used to gather around tradition, and now we gather around anointing. In the old way, in the old traditional pastoral church, it was do as I think best. In the apostolic church, it is submission to the authority of the Word, the Holy Spirit, and appointed leaders. Okay, so do as I think best, submission to the Word of God, and as it's worked out through the leadership. In the old way, people are quick to take offence. In the new way, new apostolic church, quick to forgive. Quick to take offence, quick to forgive. Old way, get offended, move church. New way, work through relationship issues. The old way, want recognition from others. New way, wants to please the Lord. The only thing that matters is pleasing him, not what others think. In the old way, there was little vision for growth. The new way, vision and faith for expansion. That'll do, yeah. Okay, so the old way, traditional pastoral way, come to church. Apostolic. Go to the world. Come to church, go to the world. Old way, Jesus is with us. New way. So Jesus is with us. Apostolic today. Christ is in us, working through us. Okay. Old way, looks back. Looks back. You way? That wasn't difficult, was it? Old way. No. The old way, polite and friendly. New way?
Real.
Rude and hostile. Yeah. No, polite and friendly. Faces cost of true love for others. Faces the cost of true love for others. Here, polite and friendly, pleasing everybody and making sure no one gets offended. Here, facing the cost of true love for others. Here, parochial thinking. Parochial, like of the parish, local. Parochial thinking. Here,
worldwide
web vision. Worldwide vision. Okay, that's attitudes. Now differences in activities. In the old style, pastoral, traditional church setup, it was all about looking after the sheep. Today in an apostolic church, caring for the sheep, but motivating them for action. Here, teaching the word. Here, teach the word and train for ministry. Know the word. Live the word. Have services.
Don't have services.
Meet with God when we meet together. Tim's got one. Yes. Here, follow trends. The latest fashion, latest trend in church, whatever. Here,
follow the Lamb.
Obedience to the Lord. Here, depend on reason and feelings for decisions. Here, faith in the Lord. Faith in the Lord. Here, depend largely on natural abilities. Here. Depend on
Holy Spirit.
Here, few miracles, if any. Here, loads of miracles. Expect miracles. Different attitude. Expect miracles. All right. Underline, after your teaching, expect miracles. I didn't see any of you having an altar call at the ABC. You could have done. No one said don't. Expect miracles. Expect them. Here, formal worship. Here. People of praise. Formal worship, people of praise. Truly praising God. Away from ourselves, not just. Formal prayer. A praying people. Little discernment of spirits. Keen spiritual perception. Avoiding spiritual warfare. It's not really something that's relevant or in focus. Yeah. Well, seeing the need for it. Understanding the need for it. And then engaging in it, of course. Give you that. You can have an engagement in it. Okay. Collections for church expenses. Tithes and offerings for the work of the kingdom. Belong to church organizations. Involved with the community. Superficial unity. You know, all come and look with a smiley face on them. Tell each other how much you appreciate each other once a week. And here, heart unity, sharing lives. It takes time, but it's coming. Here, little sense of covenant with each other, if any. Here, living in covenant relationships. And I can read out what he's put here. I belong to you and you to me. This is the body of Christ in unity. I belong to you and you to me. I will love you and I'm willing for you to love me. I will provide for you when I'm able and will not withhold from you what I can do to bless you. I will defend you against any who speak or act against you and will refuse to speak negatively of you myself. I will honour you and will obey those who are over me in the Lord. I will be faithful to you and will not treat my covenant responsibilities lightly. I will forgive you. I will not allow any failure on your part to hinder our relationship. If I fail in my love for you, I will be quick to ask for your forgiveness. So there, expression of covenant. Here, a static people. Here, moving all the time. A sent people. Here, look to the leaders to do all the ministry. Here, develop everyone in ministry. Doctrinal faith. Living dynamic faith. Here, control the Holy Spirit. Here, let the Holy Spirit control the church. Here, often discouraging spiritual gifts, keeping them down, oppressed, under control. Here, guess what this one is? Encourages development of the spiritual gifts. Here, little freedom of the Spirit. Here. Here, keep quiet about our faith in God. Don't mention it. Anyone used to belong to a church like this? Yes. Don't talk too loudly. Here, bold witnesses. Here, beware of the supernatural. Here, embrace the supernatural because we need it. Little expectation for answered prayer. Expect God to intervene. What were we talking about this morning? Victories. Expect God to intervene. Do not live by promise. Trust in God's promises. Bit of a weird one, that. Local impact here. Local, national, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And international impact. Including Nagaland it's got here. It's amazing. Extra brownie point if your church has gone to Nagaland. Nearly finished. Non-biblical patterns of leadership. Thank you. Elect the leaders. Appointed by God. Leaders are managers. Leaders are leaders. When the princes in Israel lead and the people willingly follow them, praise the Lord. Led by visionaries, leaders who make leaders. Leaders keep people happy. No comment. Just tell me the opposite. That's all I want to hear. Leaders glorify God by producing fruitful people. Leaders placate people. Not much of that going on around here. Leaders placate people. Leaders here challenge people to repent. Here, fear of upsetting people. Not much of that going on either. Fear of upsetting people. And here, fear of upsetting God. It's fear of the Lord instead of fear of the man. Here, compromise. Here, confrontational when necessary. Here, look to others for vision. Leaders look directly to God. Leaders over here opt for a peaceful life. Of course, that's tempting. Can we swap? Opt for a peaceful life. Here, ready to face persecution and opposition. Here, we have respect for leaders. Here, we have honouring leaders by obeying them. So, I just thought it was timely to just go through that list and to think again about what we're aiming for. We may well have miles to go on every single category, but let me say, in the vision and in the heart of the leadership, there is nothing preventing that growth in any of those areas. The vision includes all those five areas in their fullness. There is nothing knowingly that's stopping anybody from moving into the fullness of any of those areas. And in the leader's heart is the fullness of every one of those areas. So yes, we are just off the starting blocks with some, it may appear, but we're moving in the right direction with the right heart, and we are off the starting blocks. Many, many churches could not say that they're off the starting blocks in every one of those five areas, but we are. So I hope that's encouraging, not discouraging. I hope that you can see that the vision we have is an up-to-date, apostolic, prophetic, cutting-edge vision that's big and where there is plenty of room for us all to grow into. And where, you know, in the days ahead, we anticipate that growth in every one of the areas. I anticipate teachers, every one of you teachers, teaching with authority, learning that lesson absolutely clearly that you're there to train, and seeing God's power, not even just having an altar call, but expecting and seeing God's power at work after you teach the Word of God. Not theoretically, but to train and to see a release of God's power and faith. I expect the pastor, I expect pastors to be raised up, those who have got a pastoral anointing, according to biblical pastoral anointing, not the old-fashioned thing. But we want and need those pastors to join those that already are. And there's plenty of room for that to happen. We want to see the evangelism growing even more. And, of course, with our vision, we're talking about us all being evangelistic, not just two people, but the whole church being witnesses. We have a model that can lead to a church as being effectively bearing fruit by reaching out to people all week long, people who are not saved and prodigals. We have the model, we have the vision, we've created the space by not meeting on Sunday mornings, and so there's nothing to stop us becoming a church who is seriously evangelistically effective, not just in some quarters, but the whole church. Apostolic, well, with Pastor Colin now getting on, it may be time to review, and no faith camp anymore, it may be time to consider what that means for us. It may be, and certainly in the next year or two, it may be to sort of ask God, say, well, how do you want us to carry on? We can carry on relating to KF, you know, but is that what he's saying? Do we see Clive as an apostle? I don't know. I don't know the answer to those questions, but God's always got the answer. So, but at the moment, we are firmly embedded in our hearts and in our history in Kingdom Faith, and I have a personal relationship with Pastor Colin, who I see regularly, if not frequently. I mean, not frequently, but regularly, once or twice a year. And so we're certainly apostolic, and we used to get all the input from Faith Camp. Leaders go to leaders' conferences there, so there is still input. And the freedom thing has come from Kingdom Faith, so you know we're open to what they're doing there, and we're to receive it and to use it. So there's certainly apostolic. And they're certainly prophetic, because we are seeking not to be people who have words and pictures all the time necessarily, though that's great, but to be, because I'm always preaching it, to be a people who hear what God says and do it and live it out in reality, not just in the meetings. So there, in every single area here, I hope you can see that there is, we have the seeds. We have the right seeds in the right place. We line up with Apostolic Church. This is Pastor Colin's book, by the way. I'm sure you'll realise that. A very good book to get if you haven't got it. It's out of print, I think, but you've probably got it in shelves somewhere. It's been around a few years. Apostolic Church. We are called to be apostolic in our anointing in our thinking, in our attitude, in our actions, in the way we live our church. And if there's any area of those old ones that you recognize tonight, well, actually, I'm still back there. I haven't budged. I haven't moved. If you are, you're going to hold things up. So get over here. Get over here. If you want me the list, I'll send you the list happily. Get over here. Get your attitudes and your actions and way of looking at things and church lining up with apostolic church, because that's what we are called to be. And that's what I've been ploughing that furrow for some years now. And that is what's in my heart. That's what's in my head. That's what's in my anointing and my call from God. So that's the way we're continuing to go. And I think it's great that these days God has done a solid work in many, many people here. That we can hear this stuff now and not just say, oh yes, I agree with that, but actually say, yeah, okay, this is what I'm giving my life to, this is what I'm living out, this is what I'm here for. And to rise up in your anointing and in your, you know, your stature in Christ, and throw off any immaturity and old stuff and walk it now in that which God is calling you to. And as we each do that, of course, then Cornerstone will become everything God wants it to become. And of course, it's what he wants it to become that counts, not me or anyone else. So I hope that's... I hope maybe there are some areas each of you got and you think, oh yeah, I was all right with that one, but I can see I need to do some work on that one. Well, go and do the work, please. Please go and do the work. And when you get home tonight or tomorrow morning or over the weekend, whatever, put some time aside. If you want me to send that to you, let me know. And let's all get on the same page so we all understand. We're not fighting against each other. We're flowing with each other along the same direction. We understand what we're talking about when we use this language now. Okay? Yes. Praise God.